Welcome or welcome back to Church Media HQ. My name's Luke Clayton, and I am your host. Today, we are having a conversation with Bo Snyder, who is no stranger to Church Media HQ. In fact, he has been on the show many times before, and so we are excited to have a conversation with Bo today. Bo is a videographer and producer. He really does all things video, from shooting to editing. He has helped us produce just about every short film that we have made here at Must Increase. And Bo is a huge help. He's the producer of this podcast, and can't say enough good things about him. So let's get right to our conversation with Bo Snyder. To talking about cameras, though, mm-hmm. What I hate to see is a church that is, you know, got their church online going, and they have multiple camera angles, but those cameras are garbage. And they're, you know,
you had to poke this.
I had to do this, man. You know, I know what their mentality was, and I've seen it in multiple instances.
I know.
Picking on one church or anyone in particular. Their mentality was, well, people want to see, you got to have multiple angles, because for some, when you shoot at multiple angles, now you're creating a better experience. And my argument there would be, okay, yeah, I can understand why, yeah, something that's higher produced might have multiple angles, but I would much rather see one, you know, center camera angle that is good or great than three or four camera angles that are poor.
Right. Yeah. It doesn't matter if it, yeah, it's, yeah, I'm,
well,
I'm at a loss for words because I have so many thoughts on this.
Yeah. And, well, I think here's the takeaway. Again, this is for people who are in a position where we're trying to take you from having nothing to kind of gradually upgrading. Focus on getting one good camera before you say, for, in other words, if you say, let's just throw a number out there. Let's say your budget is $2,000. Okay. I would rather see you go spend $2,000 on one good camera than $1,000 on two good cameras, or, you know, whatever, $666 on three good cameras two decent cameras and three bad cameras. See where I'm coming from? That, for me, I would say, yeah, do that.
Quantity does not mean quality here.
Exactly. Yeah. So I think, and again, I understand there's an argument for, well, you know, when they move around, when people move and you have to, I get that, but you put your camera on a tripod.
Yeah, but you know what, though? I disagree, because there are plenty of churches that I've seen that they've got just one camera and somebody runs it well and it does just fine.
You know? And then I would say, if you are ready to upgrade to a second camera, here's where it's nice to have the second camera. Mm-hmm. You have one that's essentially your mover. And one that's just still. And it gets a nice wide shot.
That's a great way
to
put
that. If your camera guy does screw up, you can cut to, you know, the wide angle.
Right.
I get that. But again, they need to be good. So here's a scenario that I might think is acceptable.
Sorry, just had a thought. I'll share it after a second.
Here's a scenario that I think would be acceptable. If you said, I want to buy a decent, you know, DSLR, and then I'm going to do the iPad approach for my second angle. Mm-hmm. That might be a good approach. Okay. I could see how that could work.
Here's my thing is, what's dangerous is I've been in a church. They did have one good camera, which was great. And then they had this bright idea of, like, oh, we're going to have a couple angles. So they put two really, really cheap, crappy cameras. And it's like – and I remember watching the screen as they would, you know, go back and forth. I'm like, that looks so different. Like, the color is different. It's like, dude, don't go to that angle. Please don't go to that angle. And they just thought it was the greatest thing because, oh, it's a different angle of the auditorium. It's like, but it looks like – it just got dragged through the mud and the rain.
Yeah.
It's like, that's a horrible shot. Don't use that shot. You know, so it's, once again, like, one is actually fine.
Yeah.
One good quality is better than two or three. Like,
Exactly. Well,
totally on board with that.
Yeah. So that's, and then as you upgrade, though, don't do that. Don't be, well, we have one good camera, so let's get two bad cameras.
Yeah.
No, you always upgrade to a night, you know, your camera, your second angle needs to be of equal quality to your original angle.
Yeah. If you go to any church that they know what they're doing, they've done this a while, when they upgrade their cameras, they don't, we'll say they've just for numbers, they got five cameras. That's a lot for a church. Let's say they got five. They don't upgrade one at a time.
No.
They don't have one camera. Oh, this one's 8 years old. This one's brand new. It's like, no. They wait until we are going to upgrade all of them all at the same time. And then they have five to do, you know, something else or sell them or, you know, whatever. But it's just that consistency. Because people will notice that right away. It's like, oh, that's the, you know.
Yep,
so
exactly.
I know there are, you know, budget restrictions. We've talked about budgets and churches do not spend the money that they should on this kind of stuff. And I get that. We've both been the media guy at a church. We know what it's like. We know what it's like. It's like pulling teeth to get people to buy things that are, you know, high quality sometimes. So I get that. To the guy out there listening, do your best. I know it's tough. I feel for you. I really do. But just if you just have one camera, you can make it work.
Yep.
I promise you can with a little work. And then if we've talked about this before, also, you prove yourself with one, then your chances of getting more stuff is better in the future.
Exactly, exactly. And again, bringing it back to, though, that's the thing about cameras. It maybe technically is the lowest priority on the list of these different elements, the lighting and the audio, but it is the most expensive.
It's the most expensive piece of equipment.
And so here's what I would say. If, again, let's throw that just random number out there. If somebody says, well, I'm going to give you $2,000, which, by the way, pastors, people that are in charge of budgets, that is nothing. I'm throwing out a very low number on purpose because this is a very real scenario I see.
Yeah.
If somebody says, if you do, they say, hey, you got a budget of $2,000 to basically set up a way for us to, you know, record our services.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then I would say do not blow all $2,000 on one camera or even multiple cameras.
Nope.
To start, because that's the thing. You can get lighting and you can get audio equipment for a whole lot cheaper.
Yeah.
So I would say, okay, let's at least earmark $300 to $400 for audio and lighting.
Yeah.
Then take what's left and get a camera. Even if you have to, what you think, sacrifice camera quality, that, trust me, it'll be completely worth it.
But it is natural for someone who, you know, doesn't have a lot of experience in that space. When they think live stream, they automatically think the camera does all of the work.
Yeah, and it does.
So I get that. Their mind just naturally says, oh, expensive camera, you know.
And a lot of times you think,
it's not the first priority, always.
Exactly. A lot of times you think, well, if I buy this expensive camera,
it'll be
fine. Then cool, I'm paying $2,000 for it. Should do everything. No,
they won't be able to hear it, but it'll be a good picture.
Exactly. So I think I remember one time somebody asking us about, they said they kind of that scenario. They said, I got this much money to spend.
Mm-hmm.
And we kind of said, well, you know, don't blow it all on cameras, get some equipment. And they blew it all on cameras. So, you know, you can do what you're going to do, but don't blow it all on cameras. That's it. So
that's
as far as the gear, the production, the equipment needed. And now I do want to take a little bit of time, kind of close out the conversation, to talk about the distribution of it as far as getting it out there.
Yeah.
So here is a big myth that I like to bust, if you will.
All right, bust it.
And the myth is this. We have to do a live stream.
Yeah.
In that we have to do a live broadcast of our service in real time. Now, backing up to where we were talking about with Josh Ermler and their, you know, them – him creating a true digital experience like that, where it was truly Zoom and interactive, that to me is man, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But I do understand that's not super doable for a lot of people.
No, that's
And it's not. And again, it's all about your model. It goes back to that. What works best for you as far as your church or model. And so I can honestly say that is probably not a very realistic approach for most churches out there.
Okay.
So then you're going to have to go with, okay, we're truly just kind of broadcasting the one way. Okay.
Yeah.
Again, I think you should come up with other alternatives to create that two-way conversation.
Yeah.
But for your main, you know, weekly worship experience, okay, we're going to do this as a one-way thing where we record it, put it out there.
Right.
What everybody thinks, and this is why we see the guy shooting all his chins with his phone going directly to Facebook Live, because there's something in our minds that has said we've equivocated the online worship experience with live stream. We basically believe they're the same thing.
Yes,
and they have
we do.
To be the
that's
same.
A, yep, that's true.
And it's not. You can actually distribute your service. You can get it out there, and you don't actually have to do a real time live stream. And there's a lot of advantages of doing that way.
Oh,
now, there's a lot of people who do a real for real live stream. Okay. Yeah. And that's cool. I mean, there's nothing wrong. Again, there's nothing wrong with that. No, taking that approach. However, you have to be equipped to do it.
You have to do it well, do it right.
So the biggest thing to think about here is once you've got all of your equipment set up and all that's nice, we're beyond that. Mm-hmm. The biggest thing to think about here, the biggest factor is bandwidth. And bandwidth is something that, live streaming takes a lot of bandwidth. I mean, I'm talking about internet speed. Here's the biggest risk you take with doing live stream is, there's so many potential problems, but okay, for whatever reason, Comcast, Spectrum, whoever your internet provider is, their network's pretty bogged down today. Yeah. And, so now we're not really broadcasting. We're even broadcasting bad quality, or it's cutting out.
Yep.
And because you're basically at the mercy of the internet, and you're uploading content, and that's right. going to a server, YouTube, Facebook, or something else that you might be using for your, for that service, and then it's being downloaded simultaneously. Now once it gets to, if you will, YouTube, Facebook, the server, it's kind of in their hands. Okay. It's their responsibility to make sure everything's seamless from that point up, but you've got to get it there.
Yeah.
And when you're doing the live stream, you're pushing it there in real time. So if you have weak bandwidth or for whatever reason, your internet's slow that day.
Yeah.
Well, it doesn't matter. Cause Facebook, YouTube, they've got it together. All right. Their servers, they got it together.
Oh, man, yeah.
But it doesn't matter. If you can't send them a strong signal or if you can't upload, the content sufficiently, they can't distribute it sufficiently. Yeah. They're just basically going to push out whatever you're sending them.
Right.
So if there's anything in that bandwidth that's interfering with the quality, making it, pixelated, making the audio bad, whatever it may be, again, you're just kind of at the, you're at the mercy of your upload speed.
Yeah. I'm going to throw this out there. Several churches use Wirecast.
Yeah. Wirecast.
Yeah, Wirecast, and I know it's cheap. I don't think it's free. It's cheap.
At one time they had a free version. I don't know.
Okay,
maybe they still have
a free version.
An equivalent for those out there is there's one called OBS. It's basically the same function. It's a free version of what you're talking about.
Okay. Well, we started out with that, and like you were just saying, you were at the mercy of whatever your Wi-Fi was at that moment.
Yeah.
And there were certain times it's like, oh, can't connect. Can't connect, mm-hmm. can't connect. Mm-hmm. And, we know Wi-Fi can be fickle and things. And there were so many times where we would be trying to get Wirecast up and going, and the service had been going on for 10 minutes, mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we'd have people check, like, hey, where's the live stream? What's going on today? And it's just like, well, yeah. We're using something super cheap. And,
exactly.
Yeah, so it, yeah.
So when you do use a Wirecast or an OBS, not to get too into the weeds of the technicalities of it, but I think it's important to understand you're using you're relying on your local device mm-hmm. to do not just the uploading, but to also do what's called the encoding.
Yep.
And so it's basically taking the signal, the actual camera video signal and the audio, and it's actually taking it and on the fly, compressing it, converting it, and then trying to push that out to the live stream servers.
Yep. And that's a lot of work for
that's
something
a lot that's... of work for a computer.
Yes.
And for a local computer, to do. So if you are going to live stream, I recommend you put that encoding onto something else like a Boxcast. We've talked about Boxcast before.
Yep.
There's Boxcast other alternatives.
Is great.
Livestream.com is another one. Justcast, I think. There's different ones out there. But basically what that does is it says, you give me the and Boxcast is pretty amazing because it's literally a little box that you plug an HDMI cable into mm-hmm. and you plug an internet cable into the other side, and that little box does all the work.
Yeah.
And it's pretty amazing.
It's great.
But because Boxcast is communicating, through the internet, they're communicating with that directly. So they're basically saying, you give us your feed, your mm-hmm. audio video feed.
Yes.
We're going to take care of the encoding. So that way you're not responsible for it. So if you're going to do something like that, I would recommend I would highly discourage you to do the Wirecast or OBS method, because then again, you are locally on that computer trying to do all the encoding and pushing it directly to YouTube and Facebook or whatever.
Dude, I don't know how many times, and this probably happened to you too, anytime anyone, from a media guy at a church to a pastor, mm-hmm. they ask me about live stream, I say Boxcast.
Yeah, yeah.
That is my go-to. That is my go-to. I don't recommend anything else. Yep. I say that's just the best that I have found. Mm-hmm. So many things you can do with it. It's easy. It's simple. It's not that expensive.
I'm really not familiar with the current pricing.
It's not too bad. Mm-hmm. So just to have that extra layer of, you know, what stability or whatever you want to call it, it's so nice.
To, as much of the burden of the heavy lifting, if you will, that has to go into the processing of this video, as much of that as you can take off of your local, you know, computers and machines and put it onto someone else, that, and again, a Boxcast is what they do.
Right.
So, yeah, I highly encourage you to do something like that if you're going to go the live stream route. But you, in theory, can cut out all of that process.
It's true.
You can cut out the need for the encoding and the on-the-fly encoding and uploading and distribution. And you can basically – so here's the way I see it. If we had a visual way, I could see this visual in my head.
Okay.
So you're coming from the camera and audio. You're going to the encoder, and you're taking the encoder, and you're pushing it to the server. So by servers, I'm talking about Facebook, YouTube, okay? And this is an oversimplified way of explaining it.
Yep.
Okay, so again, when you're live streaming, you're doing camera, encoder, server, devices,
okay,
to the devices that are actually watching it, okay? That is a lot. That's a lot going on. That's a lot of moving parts, if you will, technically.
Yeah.
If there, what if there was a way where you could cut out the camera to encoder to server and just go directly to server, then to devices?
Yeah.
And you cut out this encoder. You cut out the need for it to, you know, like capture from the camera to the encoder. You cut out all this because this is where things go wrong.
And that, all those,
The capturing, encoding, and uploading on the fly.
Everything between the camera and the person watching it.
Yeah. Like I said, well, to the server. I would say once it gets to the YouTube, Facebook server level, like I said, they got their act together.
Right.
It's on them.
You're right.
It rarely, if ever, goes down or anything. So the difficult part is everything in between that server, of YouTube, Facebook, whatever it is, and the camera. You can cut all of that out by accepting the fact that you do not have to live stream your service.
Yeah.
Or, because what you can do is you can record it. You can do all that. You can capture it. You can record it. And then after the fact, when you have, when you, on your own time, you can upload that to, like I said, the server, YouTube, Facebook, even a Boxcast, Church Online, the Church Online platform. And then the server can handle broadcasting that to everyone. And you can even do it in a way to where it feels live.
Right.
With YouTube and Facebook, they both have an option called Premiere.
Yep.
And so you're not doing a live, you're not doing a true live stream, but you are pushing that video out as if it were live.
Everyone's got to watch it at the same time.
Yes. Everybody's
for the first time.
Yes, for the first time. So if you decide I want to premiere it at 10 o'clock on Sunday, it's going to just push that signal out or that video out, starting it, and it's going to roll it as if it were live. And then after that, it's available to view on demand.
Sure.
And then this is, and we've talked about it before, but I can't give it enough praise, is the Church Online platform developed by Life Church. It is, so it has this feature called Simulated Live.
Yep.
Where basically you, oh man, if you've not gotten on Church Online, it's completely 100% free, by the way. They don't charge a dime for
They're
it.
They're awesome.
It really is. And there's like, I think almost 40,000 churches using it now.
Are you serious?
Yes, yes. And it's completely free. So by the way, if you, if I don't know, we don't get paid a thing to say this.
No,
But if you want to use it, use it. And if you feel like it, man, give them a donation or something. Because they're putting some serious resource into making this happen.
Yeah.
But it's a beautiful tool. And you basically, you say, hey, I want to have my service broadcasted at 10 o'clock. And then all you do, you've uploaded it to YouTube or maybe Vimeo or whatever.
Yeah.
All you got to do is take that link that it's where everyone used to paste it in a Church Online, and they will simulate a live broadcast of that for you. And it's, so it goes out like it's in real time. So am I saying that you should not live stream? No, I'm not saying abandon. If your church has a way of doing it and doing it effectively, go for it. You know, keep doing it. But think about this. Let's paint another scenario for you.
Yep.
Let's say you and it really works great in a scenario where churches have multiple where they offer multiple services on a Sunday or over a weekend.
Yeah.
So in the perfect scenario, if you were offering, say, a Saturday night service, which some do, it's a small percentage of churches that do, but many churches do.
Mm-hmm.
Then you would say, OK, we're going to record our Saturday night service or our early Sunday morning service, our 8 o'clock, 8:30, maybe 9 o'clock service. Yeah. And then in between services, we're going to upload it. Mm-hmm. And then we're going to schedule it to broadcast at the, you know, the main service time. You know, I say the main time, but, you know, the one that maybe is most popular time, like 10 o'clock or whatever.
Sure.
It's a little bit of outside of the box thinking. It's a little bit different because, again, everybody has equivocated church online, live stream. They're the same thing. They don't have to be the same thing.
Yeah.
And again, I'm not saying you can't do live stream. I'm not, but I'm just saying think outside of the box.
Yeah.
Do it a little bit differently. Realize that when you do it, that all that we're talking about, camera to encoder to servers to devices, all in real time, you're cutting that out. And you're essentially saying, okay, we're going to upload it. We're going to make sure it's there. Then we're going to push it out to all the devices and all the different screens that'll be watching it. So,
right, like we said, I mean, there's so many things that you can control. Some things you can't.
Mm-hmm.
So the more things in that line that you say, hey, I know this is reliable. I know I can do this. It just helps.
Exactly.
You know, and just if you can get rid of some of that heartache and headache, I mean, it's
exactly.
And there are very very large churches. That I'm just gonna say this because I'm proud. I went to Pensacola. That's my college. I'm proud of it. I love it. I still do. Their campus church, they would record their sermon on Sunday. That wouldn't go out for another month.
Oh wow!
Because that was their schedule. They said they actually took the time.
Oh, they put it on TV down there.
They put it on
That's
TV.
Right.
They put it on TV. So they do not have a live stream.
Hmm.
I mean, their church is huge.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, that's true. They because you know they would record it and then somebody on their staff they edit it. They put all the lower thirds in it. Mm-hmm. They put the lyrics on there for the the songs and all that. And that doesn't actually go on television for about a month.
Wow!
So it's that's something that they did.
Yeah,
most people don't actually know.
Well.
Yeah. So, and that is the only time that they would push it, like, hey, we're actually going to push this out next week,
mm-hmm.
which was very rare. But as if, hey, this is very critical to something that's going on in the world right now.
Yeah.
But most of the time, you know, if you think about a sermon, if you don't mention anything about current event, you can listen to it anytime, and it's it's still relevant, still helps. So very rarely did they. Make something that was like, hey, this is going to go out next week.
Yeah.
Because this is no reason to. But most of the time, hey, we're just going to edit it, make sure it's all perfect, and send it out, broadcast it on this day.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And I actually think we're talking about Church Online and Life Church. I actually think even though they are, I think at this point, the biggest church in America, technically, with all their campuses, I think they are considered.
Life Church?
Yeah. I believe they are considered the biggest church
in America. I think
they are. If not, they're definitely in like the top five.
Oh.
But they, if I understand it right, they don't actually truly live stream any of their services.
Okay.
They, like I was just saying, they have a Saturday service,
mm-hmm.
they capture it,
yep.
And they record it, and then and now they record and they kind of, do it as if it was a live production.
Yeah.
So they're live, doing the live mixing and everything
sure.
with a switcher and all
yes,
that.
Definitely.
They're actually adding the the lower thirds.
Right, yeah, and you can do that in it. Yes. Yeah.
Yeah, you can get software, so they're
right.
adding the lower thirds and the scriptures and the song lyrics all like in real time.
It's called in-camera editing.
Exactly, which is if you can do it well, it's great. It saves you a ton of time.
Yeah.
It requires extensive equipment and a
definitely,
team and all that stuff.
Definitely.
But anyways, and then they take that file and they upload it right away.
Yep.
And then they start doing their live stream
mm-hmm.
or their church online broadcast later that night and then on into Sunday.
Right.
And so I believe that's how I believe they never rarely offer a true, actual, like real-time live stream.
Mm-hmm.
Everything you watch with their church online, you are watching something that was pre-recorded.
Yeah.
In most cases, just a day earlier, or even
sure.
a few hours earlier.
Right. But like you said, when people think church online, their brain just goes to live stream.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't have to be that way.
It doesn't have to.
It's like, hey, that actually doesn't work best for me.
Yeah.
I can change it.
Exactly.
And I love quotes, but I'm going to slaughter this one. I don't know who said it. But the gist of it is, to learn something, we must forget everything we know.
Yeah.
So it's like, okay, whatever you think about church online, forget it
mm-hmm.
for now and come up with your, hey, if I had a perfect scenario for me,
mm-hmm.
for my church, for what I have available to me, what would that look like?
Yep.
That's what I think you need to walk away with
yep.
this.
Yeah,
this particular part of it, right?
And again, you have to go back to what works for our. We keep saying what works for our model. What works for us?
Yep.
And if true live stream is what works best for you, go for it,
dude.
I'm not gonna argue.
Keep going. Yeah.
Especially, but if you can do it right, I would tell you this: if you say, man, every week we're just struggling with live stream, it's always messing up, and we're having these. Then okay. Forget it.
Forget
Stop live, stream. Live streaming.
Still record it.
Record it and upload it and do a simulated live through something like a Church Online or premiere it on YouTube and Facebook.
Sure.
And just do it that way. You do not have to do live stream in order for you to create a Church Online experience.
Yep.
And that's, again, something that I've been really fascinated by.
Yeah.
Because, you know, like for the longest time, I thought, well, live, I did. Yeah, I put
same
in live streaming Church Online.
Of course, same. Yeah.
And then, you know, I started to do more studying. I was like, wow, you really don't have to. So, well, man, we have covered a lot in our conversation.
Yeah.
And, man, this has been really good. I miss having you behind the mic as much as you used to be, but you'll be on again for
sure. I'll be on again. I'll come
here,
back.
Here pretty soon. And we will have you back. And, you know, I don't know. I think that's about it. We covered cameras and lighting and audio and then philosophy. So, man, we've covered it all today. Hope this was a help to you. So, Bo, thanks for being with us, man.
Hey, man. Good to be here.
All right. Thanks again. Well, thanks again for joining us here at Church Media HQ. We hope that you'll take a moment to subscribe wherever you're listening or maybe watching this content. We're available on all podcast platforms, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, and many more platforms beyond that. Also, if you're watching on YouTube, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel so that whenever we drop new episodes or new content, you will be notified. And you can also like this video on YouTube or even on Facebook, and that is a huge help because it helps the content get seen by other church leaders like you. And we are grateful every time you join us for our episodes and the new content that we drop, and you hope you will continue to join us in the weeks ahead. Well, as always, I want to challenge you this week. Try something new. Just try something. Whether you think it's going to work or not, just try something, because it is always so much better to fail at trying something great than to succeed at doing the average. See you next time on Church Media HQ.